Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Job, the Old Testament book of Job. And while you're turning there, we've just walked through Thanksgiving, and there's so many things we truly do have to give thanks for. The gift of being able to assemble as the people of God, being able to get up, being able to walk, being able to see, being able to hear. But you're walking through a situation this morning, and you'd just have to be honest with yourself, and you'd have to be honest before God that you're walking in a thankless situation. Maybe you're doing your best, and you're trying to do everything you know to do before God, and all of a sudden it's hit you. You have a thankless situation in your life. You're trying to mind your own business, walk with God to the best of your ability, and all of a sudden your finances have collapsed. Maybe your marriage is on the rocks. Something else has happened in your life that only you and God can know about it. And you'd be honest before yourself and before God that really, to be honest, in this time of the year, you really struggle giving thanks. To be honest with you, there are a lot of times in our life that we're in countless thankless situations. We don't understand why we get there sometimes. You're walking in obedience to God, doing the best you can with your one life and your body, and you're trying to walk in obedience to His will, and you're just in a situation that you would say is thankless. Maybe something has attacked your body, and something is going on in your health, and you just honestly don't understand what is going on in your life. Well, the wonderful truth of Scripture is you're not alone. There have been hundreds and hundreds before you. And one of probably the best examples in all the Bible, two best examples, is in the life of both Job and Paul the Apostle. You look in the life of Job, and here you find a man, he's doing what God tells him to do on a day-by-day basis, and all of a sudden his life explodes in front of him. So many things happen that just devastate his life. You're here and you're in a thankless situation, and I pray as you listen to this message this morning, the Spirit of God just rivets His truth home. Because the truth is, you're not where you are by accident. You're not where you are by chance. You didn't accidentally get there, and even if it's a situation that you have no earthly idea why it's there, God has some divine things that He wants you to understand in your situation. If you'll turn to the book of Job, chapter 1, and I want to read the entire chapter. Job, chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and hated evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 5,000 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day. And he sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man, an upright man, one that fears God and hates evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, The oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The fire of God is fallen from Job and hath burned up the sheep. The servants consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house and fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. As you listen to the story of Job, maybe you find yourself exactly like Job, you feel. Now, you've not had someone to come into your life and your house is still standing. You still have your family. You still have a number of other things around your life, but you honestly feel like your life is coming to a difficult time and you really struggle being thankful. Whenever you read the story of Job, God the Father wants you and me to understand that we're not alone. And in truth, there are so many situations that you face your life and you find your life where you really struggle giving thanks. It's not hard to be in some dilemmas in life. You're in a situation and all of a sudden you're doing everything you can with your finances and there's no more finances. You're doing your best in your relationship with someone, maybe it's a spouse, and all of a sudden you find something has happened in that relationship. Or all of a sudden you go to the doctor and something has happened and you really struggle giving thanks. There are so many seemingly thankless situations in life. But I want you to listen very carefully to these four important truths this morning, because you and I always need to be oriented to the God who created us and oriented to His truth. First and foremost, when you and I are in a thankless situation, we need to remember that God always remains loving. Sometimes when we're in a situation and we don't understand what's happening, we can really draw some wrong conclusions about the God that created us. But the Bible says in 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Do you realize that it's the very nature of Almighty God to do into and for your life only that which is loving from His perspective? Now, I want to say that again. It is only God's nature and disposition to do to you, in you, and for you that which is loving from His eternal dimension in life, from His eternal disposition. And you see, for God to allow one single thing into your life that is not out of a heart of love violates His nature. Now think about this. God created every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of the earth that has lived, is living, and will ever live. God always has His hand on the gauges of what is happening to our life. And the Bible makes it very clear in the very first part of this chapter that Job feared God. He reverenced God. He worshiped God. Job had walked with God and he knew that it was God that had blessed him. Listen, you don't have that many sheep and that much cattle and that much possession without realizing who your blesser is. And in the life of Job, one thing that he understood when it came to his life was that this God who had blessed him was a God of blessing. Now listen to me very carefully. You're going through a bad situation in your life now. You're going through a hard time. You're going through a difficult time. You're going through seemingly an impossible circumstance. God the Father can never relate to you any other way other than absolute perfect love. Now, what that means is everything that he allows to come into your life is what you would want if you could see your life from God's point of view. If you could honestly see what the Father sees about your life, you would understand why there are some things in your life that he is allowing, though you don't understand them now. You see, you know, you walk through a thankless situation, you walk through a crisis, you walk through a difficulty. And one of the things that we do, we want to draw conclusions about God in the middle of those situations. If you're in the middle of a thankless situation, listen very carefully. Do not draw a conclusion about God right in the middle of your situation, because you'll be easily distorted and easily distracted. Every one of us from time to time have those difficult situations, those thankless times, those trying times. And if Job had drawn a conclusion of God based on chapter 1 of Job, he would have completely misunderstood God. And that may be where you are right now. You're asking the question, God, why don't you love me? Why don't you care for me? Why don't you provide for me? Why don't you come to my rescue? But listen to me very carefully. You're only in chapter 1. You're only in chapter 1 of your circumstance and your situation and your dilemma. And you see, here's what Job knew. Now, you need to back up and you need to remember some things. How long does it take to have a few thousand yoke of oxen and sheep and all that? It doesn't come overnight. Job learned throughout his walk with God that God was a God who loved him. God was a God who blessed him. It was God that gave him everything he had. And you see, one of the things that you and I need to understand is this. God can never relate to you any other way than perfect love. Now you say, well, what does that mean? He can't give you one bad thing. God will never give you one bad thing. It violates his nature. It violates the very character of holy God to give you anything that is bad. Now you say, okay, then I've got some sickness. Well, there are some things that we're going to learn in this message when it comes to some of the tough things in life. But you see, one of the things that Job realized that God was overshadowing his life. You know, when Job couldn't stand what was happening, here's what Job did say. The Lord, at the very outset, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. When you are in a thankless situation, don't forget that it has been the God of all creation, the God of Abraham, that has been the blesser to our life. You know what we do sometimes? God, you just keep on bringing it on. I want the good things, but I don't want the bad things. And here's what Job knew, that God must be up to something. Let me ask you a question. Could it be, with your limited knowledge that you've got, you're walking through a thankless situation, you're walking through difficult finances, you're walking through a difficult relationship, maybe your marriage is in a tough spot. Could it be that the Father has something that he has in store for you that is beyond your wildest dream or imagination? You see, what we don't understand is the mind of God completely. And so we get in the middle of a situation and we want to draw conclusions about it. And, you know, Job knew that God was a God of love. As a matter of fact, if you look in verse 3, the Bible says Job had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen. Bible says he was the greatest man in all the East. You don't become great without God. You don't become great without orienting your life to Almighty God. Now listen to me very carefully. We don't hear this a lot in the life of Job, but Job understood and had a walk with the Father, had a walk with God that is beyond our human comprehension. Why? Because the Bible says God allowed everything to be taken away from his life and he still loved God. What would happen if everything was stripped away from your life? Would you still love God? If absolutely you lost all your possessions, would the Father still find you loving him? Would the Father find you loving him and worshiping him? You lost your possessions, you lost your health, you lost everything about you. Would you be able to relate with Job in the latter part of chapter 1 when he says, the Lord gave, the Lord's taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord? I'll never forget one person at the death of their spouse. I saw them. They were standing at the casket. It was the time for the family to go in for the viewing. And the first thing they did after they looked at their spouse, they dropped to their knees and they praised God. I'll never forget that. You see, here's what happens. Sometimes we just really believe, Lord, you know, these things shouldn't happen to my life. Why? Why shouldn't some of these things happen to our life? Listen, God wasn't picking on Job. Now listen very carefully. It was a long time it took me to believe this. God's not picking on you. God cannot pick on you. But there are some things that he's in the process in your life. Listen, if you're going through some trial and some struggle, then he has picked you out. What about all the other people in the time of Job? Why don't we hear anything about them? Because there is something about the life of Job that honored the Father. When you get to the thankless times in your life, can the Father look at your life and you're honoring him? Whether you've got two nickels to rub together, whether you do or do not have your health, whether someone does stay with you, you'll honor and glorify the Lord God. You see, one of the things that Job realized was this. He made a definite connection between reverencing God, worshiping God, loving God, and receiving the blessings of God. Now listen very carefully. Your love for God, your reverence toward God, your worship toward God, there is a definite connection between that and God being able to bless you. God knew that he could use Job because Job was one of those individuals in whom he was mature. Now, he didn't know everything. Job was a human being just like you and I. But Job had learned this. The Father can never do anything to my life without it being perfect love. Some of you have been through sickness. You've been in the hospital. You've gone through some trying times and horrible ordeals. And you've come out of that and said, you know what? I've learned something about God in this situation that I never knew before. And you wouldn't take $1 million for it. Henry Blackaby shares the story of his daughter having cancer. Took her to the doctor, and all of a sudden, they were right in the middle of a situation where his daughter had cancer and was fighting for her life. And he didn't know if she was going to live or die. In that situation, what do you do? You see, if you don't understand and don't believe that God can relate to you any other way than perfect love, you'll draw some horrible conclusions about the God of Scripture. A bad thing comes into your life, and here's what happens. And this is a great testimony of what we do know and do not know about God. Well, why is God doing this to me? You know what that says about a person? They don't really know God. Why is God allowing this to happen in my life? Why is God picking on me? That's a sign you don't know God. Listen, the Bible says God is L-O-V-E. Say it with me. God is. Now, mothers, would you orient your life toward your children any other way than love? No. You say, well, you know, my mom makes me go to the doctor, and I have to go to the dentist, and I have to go to the eye doctor, and I have to go get shots. Well, why is mom picking on me? Could it be that your earthly mother knows something that you don't know? I remember hearing a preacher say this one time. He said, never will forget, I was a kid, and my parents would get that castor oil out. I'm so thankful I didn't live in that time. Castor oil, and he said, they'd get that castor oil out, and my mom would take the lid off, and she'd put it in a little cup, and she'd say, now, you drink that. That's good for you. And he said, I loved mom and trusted mom, but I drank that, and said I'd about turn every other side of sick. And he said, I can still remember that. Some of you can, too. But what was she doing? She was expressing her love toward her son in some other way other than what he expected. Would you allow the Father to express his love toward you in a way other than you can understand? You're going through sickness. Would you let God teach you what he wants you to teach you in that sickness? You're going through a trying time in your relationships, and the Father wants you to understand that there's nobody he wants you to bank on and depend on more than him. Or you're going through health issues. You see, one of the things that Job learned was this, that it was God who had oriented, and listen, God was doing something in the life of Job. He didn't understand, but here's what Job knew. How can a God bless me and also want to hurt me at the same time? You know what we do? Now, I want you to listen very carefully. You're going to misunderstand. We sometimes treat God like he's schizophrenic. You listen? We sometimes treat God like he's schizophrenic. He can love us one day and not love us another day. He can treat us in love this way, but not treat us. Listen, that violates the nature of God. He can never respond to you, never, never, never in a billion lifetimes in any other way other than absolute, pure, wonderful love. And when you're going through a situation, Father, you're doing something I don't have any idea of, but I want to be obedient. You see, Job understood that. He knew that the Father was up to something that he couldn't understand, and that's what happens in our thankless situations. You know, he's up to something that we don't have any idea. And when you draw those conclusions, don't allow yourself to draw those conclusions. You know what will happen when you draw conclusions about God in the middle of your situation? You'll wrongly evaluate your situation. You ever said, God, why don't you love me? Do your feelings ever change God? Never. But you know what? Your feelings can have a bearing on you. Never will forget one time when I was a little boy. Dad had to really discipline me for something. And it really, really hurt me because I didn't think I did something that bad to get that discipline. I walked outside and my dad could overhear me saying, my dad hates me. My dad don't like me. And I just walked around the house and hear him. I just said it out loud. My dad hates me. My dad don't like me. And it broke his heart. He told my mom, he said, would you have a talk with him? Now listen to me very carefully. God can't give his son Jesus to die on the cross and then want to hurt you. Amen? That wasn't very loud. God cannot give his son to die on the cross for you, for your life, for your soul, for your eternity, and then turn around and want to hurt you. Amen? Could it be that he's orienting you to something you don't have any idea of? You see, what happens is this. We'll wrongly evaluate our situations. We'll completely misunderstand God's plan. You're in the middle of a situation and you think God's trying to hurt you. No, that's because you're right in the middle of your situation. Be careful. Don't draw any conclusions in the middle of your situation. And then we misunderstand the events. And then we just draw inconsistent conclusions about God. Now think about it. Job lost his possessions. He lost his servants. He lost his sons. He lost his daughters. He didn't lose his wife. And later on, she said, why don't you just curse God and die? You see, we're human. We live in this human body. It is so easy to draw conclusions based on our situations. It is so easy to draw wrong conclusions based on what you're going through. Based on your events, based on the fact that you're trying to obey God and you don't have a penny to your name. You're trying to obey God and for some reason you're losing your health. You're trying to obey God and all of a sudden just the sky falls apart, so to speak, in relationships. And you see, there's so many things that Job realized that the Father was up to through the process of time. You know, it could very well be that God may desire you to watch and be patient. Could very well be that God is watching your life and teaching you to wait for him. Let me tell you what will happen. When you're in a hard situation, you can read it. You can read the Bible. But let me tell you something. You're in a hard situation. It's you and God. Let me tell you what you'll find out quicker than anything. You'll find out for yourself how much or little you really trust God. You'll know his name, sing the songs, hear people testify. I've been in situations in my own life when I was so bewildered and confused and a very thankless situation. And I look back and I think, God, I almost drew a wrong conclusion about you in the middle of that situation. And you see, not only that, but number two, remember this. In your thankless situation, God has the complete picture of your situation. Do you realize you're never out of the mind of God? Do you realize God has thought about you today a million times more than you've thought about God? Do you believe that? The Bible says in Proverbs 15:3, The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, beholding the evil and the good. Now, there's a lot of folks who say, God, why don't you come to my rescue? Why don't you deliver me? Why don't you get me out of this situation? But Job realized that, listen, your life is right in the midst of the presence of God. It doesn't matter what you believe. That doesn't change the facts of God. It just changes your response. And the Bible makes it very clear, you know, that we have a very fragmented vision. You're going through a crisis. You're going through a difficult time. You're going through a broken relationship, seemingly. And the Bible says, Paul said, we see through a glass darkly. In other words, he even said it very well in 1 Corinthians 13:12. Now, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I'm known. Your vision of your situation is very flawed. Your vision is very faulty, not because you want it to be. Now listen to me very carefully. Please listen. Your vision of your personal circumstance is not flawed because you want it to be, desire it to be. It is simply flawed because you're a human being and you cannot see the picture God has. You can't understand the picture God has for your life. You have no way of comprehending what the Father has in store for your life. You can't even get it in your mind. And you see, what happens is we take one isolated situation. Something blows up in front of us and we don't feel like giving thanks. And we can draw our whole conclusion about Christ and Christianity and God. There are some people that have left the church and won't even come back to the church building because they have drawn a conclusion about God out of one situation or two in their life. You know, in the life of Job, God allowed him to lose everything. But I want you to listen to this. That wasn't the end of the story. Your situation you're in is not the end of the story. Would you take heart? You say, but Pastor, it looks like it. Yes, it may look like it. It may feel like it, but it is not the end. Sometimes I have watched my favorite team play basketball, and it looks like they're going to lose. That's why I love to record it and TiVo it and go back and watch it when I know they've won, maybe by 1 point. And I look and I think, you can try, but I know you guys are going to lose because I know what the outcome is. Now, listen to me very carefully. Listen very carefully. You stay the course of obedience to God in the midst of thankless situations, in the midst of trying situations, and you don't have a comprehension of what the end of the story is going to be like in your life. Job had no clue of what was going to happen in Job chapter 42. He had no clue of what God was going to do in his life. He just stayed the course of obedience. And you see, in your situation, you know, God is teaching you and he's training you and he knows your situation, what you're in. And, you know, you don't feel like giving thanks. You don't want to give thanks. But here's what Paul found in his own personal life. I, through Christ, can handle everything in life. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Amen. Your life can blow up in front of you, and through the power of Christ, you can handle it. You can't handle it by yourself. You see, something else we need to remember too, though. In our thankless situations, God is refining our life. Look at number 3. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, but who can endure the day of his coming? Who will stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a launderer's soap. Now, every single person that has been saved by the grace of God, God yearns to do something mighty in and to and through their life if they'll allow him. Does that happen? No. Because so many individuals will not allow him to do in their life what he wants. Listen, when you go through a thankless time and you still thank God, God, I don't understand this, but I thank you. I don't understand. You say, now, Pastor, that is being just too spiritual. You can't do that. Yes, you can. You know, you can do in your spirit what you choose to do. The Bible says, in all things, give thanks. Amen? Now, that is true to to the Word of God, and that is something that the Father has told us to practice on an everyday basis. Amen? That wasn't very strong. You know why? And I'll tell you why. It's not easy to give thanks. It's not easy to give thanks when you have heard some shocking news. But here's what the Father is up to. Now, watch very carefully. God is always refining you. Are you where God wants you to be? Now, don't you dare answer that out loud. You won't be where God wants you to be a million years from now. That's why it's going to take an eternity for God to make you all He purposes for you to be. But you know what we do? We get to be 40, 50, 60, 70. You know what? We're where God wants us to be. No, you're not. No preacher would tell you. I guarantee you, Billy Graham would say, Charles Stanley would say, they're not where they really want to be with the Father. They're walking day by day to please Him. And you see, here's what happens. As you allow the Father to develop you in those thankless situations, He refines you. Now think about this for just a moment. How many of you are going to be here 100 years from now? And if you're physically healthy, you'll be in this sanctuary 100 years from now. Raise your hand. Why didn't you raise your hand? I'll tell you why you didn't raise your hand. You know you're going to D-I-E, die. Isn't it amazing that we don't live for eternity? Isn't it amazing how we live for, and some of us have got 20 more years left, 30 more years. Now, my precious mother died at 69, and I hope that's not the case with me, but if it is, that's fine. But we're not going to live. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think that God is allowing some thankless situations in your life to orient you to eternity? Now, let me just ask you a question. Could it be that God is allowing you a thankless situation to check your character, to refine your character? You know, maybe to evaluate yourself, to evaluate where your treasure is. Maybe as a reminder that you're going to go through the judgment. Now listen, the Bible says sometimes the thankless situations are for refinement. We don't like the tougher things, but the Bible makes it very clear that the Father is refining us. Think about this. You don't have two nickels to rub together, and you feel horrible about not having any money. Wouldn't it be horrible to walk into eternity poor? Wouldn't it be horrible to stand before Jesus Christ poor? You didn't invest in anything eternal, and you're eternally poor. You say, no, you can't be eternally poor. Look at the book. Read it carefully. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that there are going to be some that are just saved as by fire. You know the picture. It's a picture of a person running out of a house, and all they've got is the clothes on their back. What if you've got a lot of money? What if you've got your health and you're not oriented toward God? And you see, the Father reminded Job, Job, you be oriented toward me. Listen, we all know we can leave any moment, don't we? I mean, we can be gone just like that. Could it be that in your thankless situation, the Father is orienting you, are you really, really investing eternally? You see, here's what happens. We become so earth conscious, stuff conscious, and we get all upset when God takes some things away from us. But listen to what the Bible says. In Malachi 3, he says, for he is like a refiner's fire and a launderer's soap. Is the Father going to try my works? Yes, he is. The Bible makes it very clear. If God's allowing you a time of loss, it's a wise person that asks this question, how would I like it to lose for eternity? Can you be saved and lose? Yes. You can be saved and lose. The Bible says in Malachi, or in Matthew, there'll be those in heaven who'll be called least. Least? Because they didn't obey the word of the living God. Imagine living for all of eternity and all you lived your life for was this short span of time that we call earth. You're living for that. You've invested your life, your energies, everything about you in this. And then you die. The Bible says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, listen, if any man's work shall be burned up, this is talking about believers now, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Someday you'll lay aside every possession you've got. Cars, land, CDs, IRAs, whatever you have. What are you allowing the Father to do for eternity? But last, oh, please look at it very carefully, very significantly. In thankless times, remember this. God's best is just beyond the thankless situation. Now, I want you to listen. I pray your spirit does not forget this. You're in a thankless situation and you think you're never going to come out of this. You don't think anything positive is going to come out of your situation. Do you know? Now listen, a law of God is something permanent and eternal. Amen? When you choose to walk faithful in the middle of a thankless situation, the best of God's blessings are right after the thankless situation. Let me just give you a few examples out of Scripture, and I want you to turn to the last chapter in Job for just a moment. In the Old Testament, there was a man by the name of Joseph. You're talking about thankless situations. He had brothers that betrayed him and threw him away. He had a dad that didn't want to have anything to do with him. And, he had family that was alienated from him, not because of anything he did. He was thrown in the prison. He was put in a pit. He was accused of rape. All these terrible, thankless situations. But listen to me very carefully. Listen. Look up here. In Scripture, there is the principle of one day's time. In one day's time, God took Joseph out of the pit, brought him before Pharaoh, the most powerful man on the earth, and used the thankless situations as preparation for greater usability than he could have dreamed. It all happened in one day's time. In the life of Job, in Job chapter 42, I want you to look at verse 12. Job had lost everything he had. He lost his sons, his servants, everything he had. But when you get to verse 12, watch what happens. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 female donkeys. In other words, you get to the end of Job's life. Here's what the Father has been watching. You've been being grateful. You've been walking with me. You have not abandoned me. And the Bible says God prospered him. And it happened right after the thankless situations. Do you know that the greatest find of diamonds in the world was discovered 18 inches from where the previous miners quit because of their circumstances and situation. You see, here's what you think. God, why? But listen, God will never respond to you but in perfect love. And what that means is this. You're going through a thankless situation. You're going through another thankless situation. You're going through another thankless situation and on and on. And you say, but God, are you noticing? Oh, yes, he is. He is noticing, and it is a principle of the Word of the living God. The blessings of God are just beyond the thankless situation. You're in the middle of the thankless situation, and you just really are struggling, and you're wondering. But don't you forget, times change, But the law of God, the word of God, the truth of God always is unchangeable. It is never changing. Always the same. The Bible says in Malachi, I, the Lord, change not. So what does that mean? Your life's about ready to blow up. You continue. You've lost something special and precious in your life, and you're in the most horrible, thankless situation. Do you think God loves Job any more than he does you? Now, listen very carefully. Every one of us may have a different answer to that. But here's the reality that the Father has brought me to. Benny Bush, Job, my servant, is no more special to me than you are. I created him in his day and time. I created you in your day and time. You obey me and watch what happens. I can tell you this on the Word of God. You obey God and you watch what happens. Will he come? Will he bring you out? Yes, he will. It is always the plan of God to deliver you out of intense situations. After all of us that have children, my daughter calls me and says, Dad, I'm in a tough situation. What would you do? Oh, honey, you just stick around there. I can help you out, but I'm not going to. No. And the Bible says, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give? You just hold on. Stay obedient. Stay following the Lord. And you will find the rescue of God in your situation. That's the truth based on the Word of the living God. Oh, Father, how we praise you and love you and worship you. For, Lord, your Word is true, unalterable, unchangeable.